Welcome, everybody. My name is Scott, and I get to lead the team here. We have a number of us who speak and teach, but I get to do the lion's share of it. I'm glad you're here. I'm so thankful for you moms. Without you, we wouldn't be here. What it comes down to. Every time Robin gets sick, I think, oh man, this ship is sinking. She goes down, forget it. I'm jumping overboard. Yeah. So we've been doing a series called We Are the Church. We are the church. And a few weeks ago, we talked about how Christ himself said that he would build his church, meaning his people, his movement, and the gates of hell would not stand against it, that there would be nothing that could stop it. And so that's God's role. And then we talked about our role, and I gave you some images to remember. We're the people with the fish. That's what we're supposed to be. We're the people with the food. We're the people with the hope. We're the people who have the understanding, the purpose of life. We're the people who have that fruit of the Spirit. We're not supposed to be the birds on the bottom. We're not the squawking, fighting, arguing, pecking crowd. Okay? I gave you those images just basically when we were talking about how we're to treat each other and how we're to be unified in the church. And you say, are we supposed to agree on everything? No. But we are supposed to agree on the thing, the main thing, right? We're supposed to agree on that and have that be our focus. And then last week I gave you this. Jesus said, be salt and light. Jesus did not say, be salty and fight. Okay, and we talked about that a little bit, about how God put us as a city on a hill, that we are to have a positive impact on our community. So we looked at being the church, being the gathering inside, and last week, we looked at being the church to the outside world, that we're to bring out the God colors, the God flavors. We had corn on the cob last night, and I took it on the chin a little bit for mentioning my wife in the sermon last time, because she had the salt out again, and she said, see, I bring the salt out. And I was like, I know, sorry. But I was like eating my corn with the salt on it going, this is so good. And she's eating her bald corn, you know, just no salt, nothing. And I'm like, the salt brings out the corn flavors. The salt is what does it. And she's like, I'm eating her corn. And I was like, I'm just missing so much. We are to be the salt and light, bringing out the God flavors of the world and bringing out the God colors of the world. So we talked about being a positive impact, having a positive impact on our community. Communities normally see churches as these squawking birds, right? Squawking birds, they've always got a problem. Instead, our reputation in our community is a solid one, that group of people is there to love, that people there is there to help, that people will give support. I frequently will get calls from city officials that will say, hey, we have this family. We have this woman who's just come out of recovery, and she just got an apartment, but she has nothing. Do you guys have a mattress? Do you guys have stuff? And I love that. I love that. That means that even in our city, people are looking and saying, where can we find hope? Where can we find help? Where? And they're saying, that church down there on Main Street, they do that. So this morning, we're going to talk about, okay, so being outside and inside, how do we accomplish it? How do we accomplish it? And here, we seek to create three atmospheres. And for most of you, this will be a review. And I love that. I would like us to get to the point where you could preach this sermon. I hope you're sitting there, if you've come for years, and you're going, oh no, this again, I already know this. And then I say, awesome, that's great. okay? So we want to create three atmospheres: the foyer, the living room, the kitchen. The foyer is the place that says, welcome. It says, you belong. We're thrilled you're here. Come on in. Now, I don't know, how many of you guys live in Westbrook? All right, if you're online, you've probably seen on the Westbrook community pages, our city is going crazy right now because there's a door-to-door salesman. This poor kid with blonde hair and a hat, he's a happy-go-lucky guy, I'll tell you that. I say kid, he's probably 19 or 20. Remember, some of us are old enough to remember something called door-to-door sales. We're old enough, some of you guys are old enough to remember the Fuller brush salesman, right? Yeah, Tom's like, yeah. How many brushes did you buy? Did you get your brushes from that guy? Some of you guys are old enough, you just remember that door-to-door. Well, now people freak out when people come to their door. They're posting online. Has anybody seen that guy walking around the neighborhood knocking on people's doors? What does he want? The other person goes, I don't know, it's kind of creepy. We haven't answered. He's been here three times. I don't know. Another woman posts, I'm going to call the police. I'm going to... And they're going on, and it's like 83 comments about how this creepy guy is coming to the door. So all of these people online are freaking out about this guy who's going door to door. I get a text from my neighbor. Hey, has that guy come to your house? Do you know what he wants? He came to our neighbors across the street, and she three times, and she'd never answered the door. What does he want? Like, he wants to sell you something. This guy's going around, he's trying to sell pest control. Now, the kid is so dedicated at doing it that he's become the very pest that he wants to control. But I'm amazed that people are so freaked out that somebody's coming to my door. Now, how many of you guys have a mat that says welcome? One. See, this is our problem. We as a society don't welcome anymore. We as a society go, who's at the door? I don't know. I'll look at my phone. Oh, I don't know that person. I'm not answering it. Not answering it. See, that when we used to have a society that you said, welcome, and people would come to the door, knock, 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 and they might be Publishers Clearinghouse. I have $1 million for you. And all you people who are scared to answer the door, you ain't going to get it. It's okay. Answer the door. Say, I don't want any of that. But we answer the door here. We say our foyer is going to say, welcome, come on in. And a foyer, we'll talk about in a little bit, wants to be welcoming. The second atmosphere where we want to build is called the living room. You know, after that creepy guy, you meet him and at the front door and you find out, hey, he's a decent person, you might actually develop a friendship. And at that point, you invite that friend into the living room. Now, there's a DoorDash guy. This guy here, he's a DoorDash guy. He's used to bringing stuff to your door and dropping it off and running, you know, or whatever, unless they say ring the bell. Now, he's one of my best friends. So I sent him a text the other day, because nobody calls anybody anymore. Sent him a text, and I'm like, the Giants were playing the Red Sox a few weeks back, and I'm like, hey, what are you doing? You want to come over and watch the game? Because we're friends. I was like, you know, come on over. He was like, nah, I'm door dashing. But anyway, you invite and you start to build those friendships in the living room. The third atmosphere that we seek to develop here is the kitchen. The kitchen is where you say, let's eat. Let's figure things out. Let's talk about hard stuff. You never get your electric bills out or your cell phone bills out with your teenagers and say, hey, let's go on out on the front porch and talk about these. That's a family conversation that we have in the kitchen, okay? So The thing that we look at to base all that on is our mission statement. Everybody today is all about mission statements, right? They want to know, they'll take some time to put this mission statement together. I've been parts of churches that have taken 2-3 years to craft their mission statement. I've seen people leave churches because the mission statement doesn't say this or it does say that. I've seen this mission statement, they're like, we're going to get it and we're going to spend $12,000 putting it on a giant sign on our wall so we have our mission statement. And so our mission statement is simple. Love God, love others, live like Jesus. And we'll talk about where we come from that. And some people will have complaints about God where they say that God is, the God of the Old Testament is a different God than the God of the New Testament. And I want to show you that his character is not that way. Look at Leviticus 19, 33 through 34. When a stranger sojourns, travels, when a stranger travels or stays with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But then in Matthew, Jesus said this. The Pharisees and Sadducees, they were trying to trick him. They were trying to get him into a trap by asking him, Jesus, what is the most important commandment? Because you know that's a dead-end question, right? If somebody says to you, here's the 10, which one's the most important? And you pick one out, they can argue with you about the other 9, right? It's just going to be... So they're trying to trap Jesus into this discussion. Teacher, in verse 36, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Remember we just saw that in Leviticus? Okay. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's the same thing we saw in Leviticus. Love that neighbor, that traveler, as yourself. And then he says this. The entire law and all the prophets are summed up in these two commandments. Or, as the New Living Translation says, the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. What does that mean? Actually capitalized in the actual text, or emphasized, because they didn't really have capitals and that stuff, but emphasized all the law, capital L, and prophets, capital P. You see, in a society that was based on living the law, following the law of Moses, the hundreds of them, over 600 of them. The law was how you were saved. You tried to live out the law and nobody could do it. And that's why we needed a Savior, but they would try to live out the law. And Jesus is saying all the law and the prophets are based on love God, love your neighbor. He's saying, you guys, this is the foundation. This is the mission statement. And so that sums up our mission statement. The foyer, you belong here. You're loved. You're accepted. Our mission statement, simple, easy to remember. Love God, love people, live like Jesus. Too simple for some of you? You might be here going, yeah, but it doesn't say anything about the great commandment. Yeah, it does. That's in the love people part. Okay? That's in the live like Jesus part. You don't say enough about Sunday school. I want something in there about Sunday school. That's in there. It's in there. Because as we're doing these things and living like Jesus and following and that loving our neighbor and loving one another, loving God, we are doing those things. I saw this mission statement for a church. It's important that you memorize and know your church's mission. Imagine going to this place. People's Church is called to proclaim the gospel of Christ and the beliefs of the evangelical Christian faith, to maintain the worship of God, and to inspire in all persons a love for Christ, a passion for righteousness, and a consciousness of their duties to God and their fellow human beings. We pledge our lives to Christ and covenant with each other to demonstrate His Spirit through worship, witnessing, and ministry to the needs of the people of this church and the community. It's got it all. But ours does too. Love God, love others, live like Jesus. Fight, fight, fight. Look at Galatians 5. See it summed up again. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. See, our reputation here is that we will not be the squawking birds. We will not be the fighting about what color this is and what... We're just not going to do that. So many things that people get divided about. We're going to focus on keeping the main thing the main thing. The main thing, the main thing. Do you know that there's no such thing here anymore as a 6-5 winning vote? Our leadership team, as we lead together, we'll have discussions, and we don't agree always, like right down the line. In those discussions, and if it comes down to, you know, almost half of us are really settled with the other idea and the other half isn't settled, we don't go, let's call for a vote. Okay, it's 6-5, we're moving forward. We instead pause and say, we're not of one heart with this, so let's wait. Let's put this one on the shelf. It's not important right now. What's important is keeping the main thing, right? Loving one another, loving God, living like Jesus. So the foyer welcomes you. The living room says, come on in. Let's start a relationship of being friends. And the kitchen says, let's hammer things out. So we start with that foyer where you belong. What is it that we do? Our Sunday services are designed as foyer activities. We've had some people ask me and say, I don't think that you have enough meat in your messages. And you might be right. I'm not going to speak go through a series on Revelation. I'm not going to speak about something that's so in-depth or this or that and teach on Sunday mornings that way. I'm going to teach about the basics on Sunday mornings, and I'm going to teach about and lift up Christ every week and have that be our focus. The meat comes in the kitchen. The foyer is our Sunday services. It's our cookouts. It's our community events. It says, everybody come. It's Westbrook Together Day Carnival, which while we're here, I need somebody brave to raise your hand right now and say, I will coordinate the children's games portion of Westbrook Together Days. Who is it? All right, we'll do this game. Stacy doesn't have her finger on her nose. Kathy doesn't. All you do is you make sure you pull together the chalk for hopscotch, you get some hula hoops that we have, you put stuff out, and you're just in charge of the game thing. Biff takes charge of the whole cookout thing. Think about it and let me know if that's something that you're willing to do. It's on June 2nd. We normally feed close to 300 people. It's a community type event. It's a foyer event that introduces them to us. And we have our bounce house out there and oftentimes rent a larger one. And it's a good time. So the kids' games are all designed for like ages toddler, little tiny guy, through maybe age 4, 5. Nothing huge. So let me know. All right, so that's a foyer event, okay? The second atmosphere, the living room, the living room. All right, what are our things that we do as a living room? You know, it's where we begin to see what each other is about. It's where we find we have things in common. Do you know where they usually happen? As we serve together. You serve on a cooking team with six other people for our community meal, and by the end of doing that, you know people. You've had conversations. You serve when we're doing the cookout in the park, and you start to develop friendships, and you're joking around with each other. You begin entering the living room. Maybe you start a foodie fellowship. I don't know, what's a foodie fellowship? It's all you people who love to check out the newest restaurants. Why not put a monthly dinner club together where you just open it up, say this month we're going to whichever one it is, okay? Whatever you're interested in, other people are interested in that too. It's where we make those connections. Maybe we want to turn our backyard behind the church into garden plots, where we can raise a garden that would benefit the church family and the food pantry and all that. And if that's something that's interested in you, talk to Roland. Roland's like got that idea, like maybe we could do something. I think, cool, that's how things happen here. Serve together. And then the third one, our kitchen atmosphere. It's where things cook. It's where we take out a hunk of meat and we beat it with a tenderizer. Okay? It's where we have these questions that get answered, where we take the verse that says, Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise, but he didn't go to heaven until the third day. How could he do that today and not on the third day? That's a tough one, right? It's like, whew, I don't know. What? What does he mean? Is that a Trinity thing? See, we're pounding that piece of meat. It doesn't really matter, but we're going to pound it, and we're going to take it apart, and we're going to look at it and go deeper. We're going to look at the words, everything. Those are our Bible studies. Those are our Monday nights that we have through the year. There are Sunday mornings that Heidi leads, the Bible study at 8:30, with most recently how to study Scripture. It's those things where you say, I'm ready to go into the kitchen. So when we look at that, it's ladies' connection. So why are we doing all that? It's a journey. It's a faith journey. We say in our foyer, that's where you discover you belong. We want people to come in and feel loved, welcomed, and not just feel it, but kind of know it. Does it make sense? You can have people faking it, right? You're going to have people faking it. It's like, I'm not saying we get to be one of those churches where as soon as you drive into the parking lot, people swarm you and like, oh, welcome, it's so good to have you here. And they have a big shirt on that says, visiting team. And here's your mug. Here's this, here's that. I got, which by the way, these are all free pens for you today because they're old and have the old information on them. Please take them all. I'm not talking about that type of welcome. I'm talking about the welcome that's sincere. And some of you guys who are introverts, you're going, that's not me. Okay, do what you do. You introverts can sense the other introverts, right? You know how you guys act. Here's a surprise. I'm not an introvert. There's nothing about me that's introverted. Introverts, when I first meet them, they want to run away quickly. All right? They're like, whoa, bro, you're doing too much. You know, hearing that from your middle schoolers, maybe. The journey belong, and then in the living room is where we start to see faith acted out, and we start to believe, hey, there's something to this faith, because these people are serving together, and they're loving it. They're not like all wearing vestments and robes, and they're not perfect, and they're not, they're just regular people. And I kind of like that. I like it when we surprise people with love and grace. I like it. And then that third thing, where we become and where our faith begins to solidify and it gets deeper and deeper and deeper, is as we dig into the kitchen. So this morning, we're going to spend some time actually talking about our game plan. Now, I've got an assignment. Some of you are like, I'm out of here now. That's okay. I need some passer-outers, or I will do it youth group style. Youth group style is when I go, and throw them up in the air. Passer-outers, that side, share amongst you. Make sure every adult in here has one of these. Every adult has one. You can share some with Dustin. He'll take back rows and all that. Game plan is, okay, so those are our three areas, our three atmospheres. How are we going to do it? How do we do it? Well, remember a couple of weeks ago when we read about the body and the body being many parts and every part being just as equally as important? Every part is. Every part is. Have you ever noticed that as you leave, there is a little yellow sign that's hanging right up above? It's a metal sign, and it says, love God, love others, live like Jesus. It's metal. Look on it, at it on your way out. Why do we have that there? Well, in the 1980s, 86 actually, there was a Notre Dame coach, very famous, Lou Holtz. Lou Holtz had a sign made that as his players were leaving the locker room, they would all slap the sign that said, play like champions, play like champions, play like champions. And it was so important for his team to remember that message that he actually had a sign made that he would bring to visiting locker rooms as well. I hung that sign years ago and encouraged people as you're going through to slap that sign. We are heading out to be the church. Slap the sign. What is it? Oh, love God, love others, live like Jesus. Some of you smaller people, Barbie's going to have to jump. You know, it would be good. You can get some air, right? But that whole thing is there. And now we ask, how are we going to do it? What can we do? And I've handed out forms that we're going to actually do right now. It's that important. Because I know all of you have just folded up and said, yeah, I'll take this home and never look at it again. You'll never look at it again. Last year when we did this, we got 16 of them back. And I would hear from the rest of you every week, oh yeah, I was going to get that to you. Oh yeah, I was going to help with this, going to help. And so we're going to kind of go through each section and I'll explain to you. Where will you help? First, you see, welcome, hospitality team. Host a week. What does that mean? What's a hospitality team? Well, the first thing I want you to know is that every person here, you are a member of our hospitality team. Okay? You're a member of our hospitality team. You already are by being here, by being part of the church. You're the ones who give the welcome. No, I'm not getting shirts for all of us that say hospitality team. We're not going to wear bright lime green and run around going, ooh. Well, I'm not talking about mobbing people. I'm just talking about being aware that we give the welcome to people. We used to have a 3-minute rule that said that when we end and close in prayer and end, that we spend the first 3 minutes just being aware, look around. Is there anybody here that I don't know? I need to correct that. You're all like, what if they've been coming to church for years and I don't know their name? This happens all the time. These people here don't know you guys. They don't even know you're here. You know why? You're behind them. You sit back here, you know everybody. You're like, oh, yeah, that lady. Oh, yeah, they sit over there. They sit over there. Angel and Josh over here are like, I don't know, how many people were in church today? It looked like 12, you know, because you guys up here. And so you get that awkwardness of, I don't know somebody's name. I just wrote a children's book for Kim's class all about that. That names, it's okay to say, I don't know your name. And you know, next week I'm going to ask again, and I'm going to say, are you Ashley or Hannah?
Hannah.
Okay? Because Ashley and Hannah came together, okay? And so I remember them together. So now I have to ask Hannah, who are you? Because the other half's missing. I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, but now I know. You know, and it's okay to do that. You forget names all the time, right? So does everybody else. So it's totally fine to give that when you're talking to somebody and go, you know, hey, Scott. And you go, Maggie. Oh, yeah. Okay, great. Got it. I remember that. You know, we lie all the time. We pretend we, oh, yeah, I remember that. Maybe we do. Maybe we don't. But be aware of how we give that welcome. So when you get to this first one, the hospitality team, Brad and Rachel, they put together this kind of hope for a hospitality where we'll have a table where it's not just snacks. This is not the snack table. It's the primary purpose is not snacks. It's not. And the donuts are great. The cookies are great. Whatever it is, those are great. But having somebody who, when you host the table, you're kind of there. And you're there for that person who's coming and going, where, if we're inside, do you guys have a nursery? Oh, yeah, it's right downstairs. Let me show you where it is. Leave. Take them to it. Show them. You know, it's that person who does that. In the summer, it means setting it up over there on the picnic table. Maybe you bake a couple dozen cookies. Maybe you pick them up. I don't care. The snacks are secondary. The first priority is just being hanging out around there that if anybody's coming and looks new to our mix, where you're just like, hey, welcome. Good to have you here. You know, are you visiting? Yeah, we're from Wisconsin. You know, just have a conversation. That's calling all you extroverts. Okay, there's a place you can serve. The second one, maybe you're going to help with kids' time on Sunday mornings. Notice I said help. We normally put teams of two together. I'm not asking you to say you're going to lead it, all right? Just get in. We have all these things that are like teams of people. Nursery worker, you love babies. We always have two people in our nursery. We do background checks. Heidi back there, she has everything set. You say, oh, I'm too old for nursery. I'm too old. You're not. You know what, Grandma? There's a rocking chair. It's really nice. And some of the kids just love to rock and read. All right? And so granted, some of these things are going to start up again in the fall when we get back, but we'd love to have teams. How about this next one? Help with the music team. You're looking at these guys and going, whoa, I could never do that. This morning, we had Deanna standing over here. I said, we had Deanna standing over here. And so that makes me go, because you know how long Deanna has been scared to do this? And this morning, she broke through and said, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And maybe you can sing a little. We've got a risk this summer. Ed's taken a break this summer. He deserves it. The man is always here. You know, he does incredible work, and he's been my partner now for 10 years. And he does what he does without thought, and other than going to Denmark for a few weeks, he never takes a vacation. I take a vacation every time you guys turn around. And so he's going to take a bit of a break this summer. What does that mean? We need others who will step up and say, I'll take a week. You know, I can sing. Well, here's what's going to happen. If we don't step forward, Biff and I are leading. It's going to be Biff, me, and Greg up there with the microphones. Hey, let's go. You know, we'll figure something out. It's going to be an interesting mix. But when things like this happen, I find that God brings forward people who are like, yeah, I guess I can. I guess I can. And I want to challenge you. Are you that person who plays an instrument? Well, look at the next one. The next one, maybe you want to help with the carnival. Check it off. The next one, help with kids club or youth group. Maybe that's something you're interested in. Maybe you used to do it in your old church. Maybe that was something you said, hey, I could maybe be interested in that. None of these would be just handed to you. Oftentimes when you go to a smaller church, you're like, oh, crud. You know, as soon as they know your name, they're like, can you serve on the finance committee? You know, it's like, yeah, in small churches, everybody is like, we all got to do our parts. Maybe you want to learn how to run the slides. Roland will tell you, he sits back there and he changes the words every time it gets to the last phrase. Boink, boink, boink. Do you know when you serve and you do that? It gives Roland a chance to sit with his family, okay? As we have a rotation and do everything. Maybe you want to learn to run sound because you're like, man, it's too loud in here. I hate it. I hate what Scott does. I hate when that happens. I would love to get away from there. The sound guy is always the like, hey, give me a break. You know, come on, you try this. But we'll give you some training. Maybe you've had some training. How about the next thing? Help with park setup and tear down. When we're in the summer there, I pull in at about 10 of 8. I pull right onto the grass, and I lift up the hatch, and we start taking out these speakers and everything else, and you learn how to plug in and electric cables and all that. Normally takes, Roland and I will do it, normally takes us about 20, 25 minutes. But maybe you could help with that. Maybe, here's one that I would love to see. Maybe you're a photographer. This is your hobby. Here's the thing. I love photographs. And when I'm preaching and working, doing this stuff, I can't take photographs. But I would love for our Facebook to be able to show, hey, this is what happened on Sunday morning. Hey, this person did this. Hey, we are not scared of phones. Right, you can take them out at any time. Take a picture. I'll smile for you. No, you can tell your story one time. Some of you guys might remember it. There was a man who came in. He was bald. He had big women's glasses on. And he was wearing a bright green velour Boston Celtics sweatsuit from top to bottom. He had a bag with him, collects every piece of literature he can. And he sat right there where Hannah is. And about 15, 20 minutes in, or maybe it was when I first started, he stood up, had a little point-and-shoot camera, and he turned around, and he took everybody's picture. Anybody remember that? Jen remembers. Yeah, you guys remember. I always wanted to see that picture, because that guy, the picture must have come out like this. Like, dude, what are you doing? So then he sat down, and I just kept going. I can just keep going because I was a youth pastor for 25 years. You're not going to get me off track. So I just kept going. Then it was right as I was making my big point. Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Right as I was making my big point, he stands up again. And I'm like, oh, here's the wrap-up. Here's the life-changing grab 'em. Boy, this is going to be good. People are going to meet me at the door weeping. This is going to be so powerful. He stands up again, points the camera at me. And so what did I do? You remember? I went like this. He put his camera back in his bag and left. Didn't even wait for the big life-changing culmination of everything. We never saw him again. That Sunday, I was teaching on welcoming strangers. And some of you said, that was a plant, wasn't it? I said, no, but it couldn't have worked any better. That was incredible. So a photographer that just shares with us, hey, these are the things that are happening at church. And when we post them, when we hashtag them and stuff, it spreads the word. Maybe you're somebody who has some experience with graphic design, video editing. There are things we can do. How about finance areas? You're a person who's an accountant. You're a person who does that stuff where you add up numbers. I hate maths. In England, they say maths. I still don't know why. Josh explained it to me, mathematics, right? Yeah, and it's short, mathematics, math. But you're one of those people who just loves numbers and loves to do all those. Maybe you know, you could work and know about our endowment funds, our treasurer, maybe our help with our counting. when those giant piles of money come in on Sunday. Nobody laughed at that. So just to be able to help, that's in your area. Maybe you want to help with the grant writing team. Here's the thing, you don't know anything about it. Welcome aboard. None of us do either. Actually, you know, Greg and I, and thanks to Janelle and others, we started learning some little bits and pieces. And we've made some great headway and are getting grants and seeing things happen. And that's cool. Help us. Maybe join Biff's crew, the cookout team. You know, he needs people that show up and help him load up that stuff. Open Door Kitchen, sign up to help. Man, we always need people who will help with the meals. Maybe you're a great cook. You're a great cook and you love to do that. You know, Steve would even take you, after seeing if you can do it, take you and say, would you like to coordinate a meal? Or maybe you're at that point where you say, I don't want to coordinate the meal, but I'll be a support. The Linscott family is doing, I think, the October meal or September meal. One of them. We signed up as family. We're going to cook it. Why not? Why not do that? You get to choose what you're going to cook. So we're just giving everybody cans of beans. No. We have my youngest son who graduated from the Culinary Institute. He's like, we're going to make these roast knuckles or this or that. I said, no. We got a budget. Maybe you're going to help volunteering. Go online. Go to lovewestbrook.org. Click on the Open Door Kitchen. Click on that little bar, the menu bar, and where it says Serve With Us, you click on that. It'll give you the little thing where you can sign up. And if that's too much for you because you look at your device, your computer, and it bites you back, you know, or it crashes every time you touch it, just tell Steve. It'll be great. How about this one? Do you love to bake? Do you love to bake? How about us putting together a list of people who say, you know what, I'll bake some cookies for a special event. I'll bake brownies. I'll bake this. I'll bake that. Now and then. And you can always say no. How about the next one? Help plan special events for our church family. Wouldn't it be cool if we, like, did, I don't know, a thing? What if we were like, hey, a softball game, you know, a field day. Man, I wonder if I can still hit. I'll be like Casas, one swing, tear all the cartilage. Plan special events. Maybe you're interested in helping in that. How about help with our furniture ministry? How about join the food pantry staff? These are all self-explanatory. Now, this one is for all you people who say, I'm too old, I can't do anything, I can't lift anything, I can't tug anything, I have no value at all. You have the most value. Let me say that again. You have the most value. Because in the economy of Christ, prayer is held up as the most important thing that we do. And do you know what the rest of us say? Oh, I meant to pray. I was too busy to pray. I slammed in a little bit of time. I would love to see us develop a little prayer team. You know, I could see Holly, if you are willing, and to run that tree, you know, and say, I'm going to look online and somebody just posted this need, then I'm going to call this person, this person, this person, this person. And we're going to pray about that. We're going to pray. So maybe that's you. Maybe that's you. How about learn how to set up and clean up after communion? Leslie would be glad to teach you. Jan would be glad to teach you. Others, you're cutting up bread into little cubes and you're doing the Philly thing to fill the little cups. You can do it. How about host a home group? You have a nice, God blessed you with a nice home. We have a group I call our potluck pals. And every Wednesday night we have a theme. This Wednesday night our theme is foods from camping. We still have no idea what we're going to do for that one. Join our teaching team. How about if you're sitting there and you're like, I don't really know. I remember Heidi looking and saying, Heidi, you wanna do that? You want to try? And do you remember Heidi's first message? Heidi took the mic and she started out here. And then the mic went, like this. And so we're out there, soundboard going, yeah, and it starts going, wee. Did you hear Heidi's last message? She's up here rocking it.
Like,
Barbie stands up and she says, "Yeah!" No, it wasn't quite that, but she's comfortable now. We've grown into that position. We've grown into it. It's so cool. Teach, lead, do something. Where will you help? Building a property, you're a putterer. Decorating, inside and out. I would love if this changed now and then. You know, maybe even seasonally. Maybe you're a person, you just love Joanna Gaines. I don't know. We need your help. We need your help in doing things. So that's the stuff. I just want you right now to take that form and just check as many as you want and saying, I'm kind of interested in that. A little bit interested in this. Maybe this. So, you got something else? Got another idea? We want to hear it. Maybe God put something on your heart. This garden idea? Roland was like, hey, I have an idea. You know the furniture ministry we have? Dana said, hey, I have an idea. Now we have a Salvation Army in our basement. You know, it's like just one little idea God uses. God uses. All right. So as our music team comes up, you guys, fill those out and leave them on the table as you head out. I'm not going to let anybody pass without dropping one of those off. I'm serious. I'm going to stand there. I'm going to take you down. No, just come on. It takes every one of us doing a little bit to have such an impact on Westbrook. You guys, it is such an awesome privilege to be part of the team here. It's just amazing to me to see what God accomplishes through all of us doing our little pieces and working together. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the last 10 years of allowing me to be here and having me here. It's just been incredible, and I look forward to seeing what God's going to do. Just a reminder for some of you guys who have muscles, we need to unplug and load up those speakers, not the front monitor speakers, but the two big side ones. Load them up, my van's unlocked, and then the stuff in the back room. Let's pray. Lord, go with us now. Father, help us to continue as a church to see needs and meet needs. We thank you that each of us can play a part. And Lord, that there are no small parts. You tell us that your church is a body and that every part is important and equal. Give us a good week, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.